Sight, making it.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Power in the Blood of Christ.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about blood. Did you think you're going to come in and hear of blood today? How do most people, if you're an unbeliever, and you hear that the sermon today is about blood, would you come? We as Christians set our whole hope of salvation upon blood, and we love blood, namely the blood of Christ. Now, I'd like to talk with you about the blood of Christ today, and blood in general, but especially the blood of Christ, and ask, is there power in it? The blood of the Savior. What kind of power is there in the blood of Christ? Why do we love it so much and set our whole hope of salvation and living forever immortally upon the blood of a certain man? And what kind of confidence can we have before God based upon it, even today and into forever? So let's talk today about blood, especially the blood of Christ, and see what the Bible, God's Word, tells us about that for our greater learning and understanding, for our greater refreshment, and our greater joy and confidence in the faith today in Jesus Christ. First of all, well, how do people normally respond and react when you say, I'm going to talk about blood today? Do you go to a party and say, hey, what do you want to talk about? I was thinking maybe blood would be a great subject. What do? They would run away from you and say, I think I remember something I left in the other room. I'll see you later. We actually kind of get repelled by blood. We are disgusted by blood. We don't like blood, unless you're really weird in a certain sense. I know that my brother-in-law, Mark, Beth's brother, when he was, many years ago having his little daughter born in the hospital, he went in to be with Bridget, his wife, while she was having little Paige was to be born. And he went and he saw his daughter born and he rejoiced in that. But then Mark, who's a very strong guy, by the way, he's a manly man, big mustache at the time, strong, manly man, he saw the blood. He came out, Beth was in the waiting room with the rest of her family, and he said, I have a baby daughter. Oh. and he totally went out. He passed out cold and hit the hospital floor hard. He was out, totally out cold. Not for the joy of his daughter, which he loved, but for the sight of blood. So it's not something we normally would want to just relish in and love and talk about all the time. But you know what? Is God squeamish about this subject, about blood? Does he shy away from it and avoid it and run from it like many do? No. Actually, he addresses it often, addresses it clearly in his scriptures, the Word, and it is a great subject. And it is super, super, super important, God says, as subject to Him. So what's God say about blood? The first thing God teaches us in His Word about it is it is very precious to Him. Blood, not only the blood of creatures, but especially the blood of man. How highly valuable and precious it is to Him. He esteems it highly. How do we know this? Well, just look at, for example, the very first shedding of blood of man by man in the Bible is the story of Cain and Abel. You got it. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought of the firstlings of the flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And he, was thinking of murdering his brother. And Cain said to Abel, his brother, let us go out into the field. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up and against his brother Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done?" Watch this. It says, "The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened up its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." And he cursed Cain from the ground, and Cain said, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." You know, I'm thinking when I'm reading this, I'm like, you should have thought of that before you went and murdered him. But even so, notice the blood of Abel was crying out and speaking from the ground for vengeance. And God indeed is an avenger of blood. We see so precious in his sight is the blood, especially of man. He says in Genesis 9, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image." Why is blood so precious to God? If you look at Leviticus 17, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." The life of the flesh, the life is in the blood. That's why it's so precious to him. And God, if you slay somebody else innocently, God is an avenger of blood, says the Bible. Did you know that? He avenges blood. Psalm 9, which we read a few moments ago, "He who avenges blood," that's God, "is mindful of them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted." So blood is very, very precious, highly valued by God. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So God will avenge blood if you slay an innocent person. But you know what? There's going to be a just sentence of the shedding of blood for every crime against God. Why? "For the wages of sin is death." The punishment for the crime against righteousness is the shedding of blood. It must be spilt if there is a sin. So that's kind of a fearsome situation for us because, you know, we've all sinned. For every sin, there must be the shedding of blood, and the soul that sins shall die, says Ezekiel. So that's quite a situation, isn't it? Does God actually want to avenge himself on our blood and that we would die for our sins to destroy us forever? Well, you know, according to God's justice, because of each of our crimes, of each of our sins, there must be a shedding of blood, namely your blood. But God doesn't want the sinner to die. He wants the sinner to live. And so what does God do? He says, "This I will do, to save the sinner, but also have the shedding of blood for the sake of your crimes and sins and mine." He says, "I will accept in your place, because of your sins, someone else, or something else, to shed its blood in your place, in your stead, as your substitute, as a sacrifice, so that that thing or that person will die, and the blood will be spilled for your sins, but also I will save, therefore, you, the sinner. I will accept a substitute, a sacrifice, someone in your place." And this is actually, if you think of it, the whole basis of the sacrificial system in the Old Testament of offering animals for sacrifice, isn't it? God set this up in the Old Testament, and there was much shedding of blood in the old days. Exodus 29, God said, "Now this is what you shall offer upon the altar, 2 lambs, a year old, day by day, continually. 1 lamb in the evening and 1 lamb in the morning." So that's a lot of blood shed in the Old Testament, isn't there? Very important to God that there be the shedding of blood, that there be atonement, forgiveness of sins, and you be set free, someone else dying in your place. And we know in Leviticus 16, Aaron the high priest, did you know how this goes? Once a year, Aaron's as the high priest, would enter into the Holy of Holies in the temple. And he'd first come in with some blood of a bull for himself to get rid of his own sins, to atone for them. And then he would come in with the blood of a bull for the sins of all the people of God. So if this is the temple out there, and this is the holy place, he would come up into here, the Holy of Holies, behind the curtain with blood And he would sprinkle it upon the altar 7 times, the blood of the bull, in order to make atonement for the sins of the people. Upon the mercy seat, where God was located, between the cherubim, blood, blood, blood of that bull thrown there. And God says, okay, I will accept that as a substitute, that the sins of the people may be atoned for, and they're set free and live. That's the Old Testament. And the greatest example of sacrifice in the Old Testament and saving by blood is what? What do you think? The Passover. Remember that? So God's people are in Egypt. They're in bondage in an evil land under evil Pharaoh. And God was going to bring the last plague upon them, upon Egypt. The firstborn shall die, God said. But God told Moses, Exodus 12, tell all the people, all the congregation of Israel, that they shall take every man a lamb, according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs in the evening. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the house in which they eat them, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both of man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I'll execute judgments. I'm the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall fall upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. Wow. Blood kind of important, maybe? Does blood save in this case? If the blood is upon you, you're saved. If it's not upon you, you're not saved. Blood is supremely important. Super, super, super to God. The blood of a spotless, perfect male lamb to save his people from his own wrath and to set them free that they live. Now let me ask you a question, though. That was the Old Testament. Old Testament sacrifices, animals, all the time. Can the shedding of blood of animals, bulls, goats, and pigeons, and lambs and such things, can that really set you free and take away your sins? No. Why? Why can't you have God just kill a bull and set you free eternally to eternal life? The answer is because the animals do not have the value of a man. What we need here is value. Jesus said at one point, you are of more value than many sparrows, right? You're worth a whole lot of them to get to one human being. In fact, you couldn't even do it. And an animal sacrifice just doesn't have the value to set you free eternally. The value ransom to ransom a man. It's not an acceptable price to God. It just won't fit for a payment. Sort of like, you know, if I were to take Kevin's Lamborghini. Just kidding, he doesn't have one. But if he did, a brand new Lamborghini. And he says, Pastor, take it out for a test drive. And I drive it off a cliff, if we could find one in Florida. I drive it off of the causeway, and it crashes and burns off the cliff, or it drowns in the river, and it's totally destroyed. And I say, oh, I'm so sorry, Kevin, for your Lamborghini. I know it was brand new, but here's $5. Is that going to suffice? Will that be an acceptable payment and price for his Lamborghini? Absolutely not. It's just a matter of value. And lambs, sheep, goats, and such things cannot ransom a man. It's like, why can't we just offer a frog to God? Wouldn't that do? No, because it's not a sufficient payment for the sins of man to redeem him. The Bible says this. Let's open up and read it in Hebrews chapter 10. This is New Testament now. God says, actually in verse 10, verse 4, it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. It just can't do it. It doesn't have what it takes. Why then did God command it? Why do we have all these slaying of things, animals, continually in the Old Testament days? Why did God command it if it can't really ultimately save you eternally? Answer is these reasons. Number one, God wanted to set before the eyes of the people continually, day after day, year after year, the gravity of sin. That for every crime against God, every sin, there must be the shedding of blood. Secondly, to remind the people of their need for a substitute, of a sacrifice, to be shed of its blood in their place. Thirdly, to teach them that the shedding of blood can save. And fourthly, ultimately, to point them forward to the one great one, the sacrifice to come, who would one day give his life for the sins of man and the world, a sacrifice that would be worthy of the price, the value, to be acceptable to God, to set the world free, a perfect lamb who was to come. So let's talk about that lamb. What kind of a lamb do we need? It was not a lamb ultimately, obviously, but a man who was like a perfect lamb. So a man has to die for man, amen? You got to have the value of a man to die for a man. But what kind of a man could do it? Could you just have any man come and offer himself for the sins of the people? Could we offer God maybe Confucius or Muhammad or Krishna or, well, it wasn't even a guy. That was a false god. But anyway, a Buddha or something. Can we offer these guys? Why not? They're sinners. And even very great evil sinners, because they started evil religions, okay? They're not saviors, but they're sinners. How about, let's get a righteous person, though. How about Paul? Could we offer Peter or Paul? Why? They're sinners still. You can't offer a sinner to God to be an acceptable sacrifice, because a sinner himself needs a savior. He can't be his own savior. So who do we need, rather? The Old Testament Passover, remember that. What kind of a lamb did God require? Exodus 12, verse 5. A lamb without blemish, a male, a year old. What kind of a man do we need to be the proper one to offer his blood for us? Perfect. A male, a man in the prime of his life, without blemish, without a mark, 100% sinless, 100% pure. We need him. Who is that man? Jesus Christ alone. He is the Lamb. Because remember when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him, the very first thing he says is, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, your sins and mine, through his blood." And he is perfect. He was pure. He was spotless. He was without sin. He was without a mark, 100% pure, Jesus Christ. Does he have the value? Does he have the ability to be the proper, acceptable ransom price for the sins of the whole world? Answer, yes, absolutely. The blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. That's why we Christians love blood. Okay, our whole hope of salvation and being immortal and living forever is based upon it, the blood of Jesus Christ, Jesus' blood. So why do we love the blood of Christ? What's it do for us? And what power does it have for you today? Well, number one, it saves. It remits sins, atones and forgives for them and to take them away. Let's read about that, Hebrews chapter 9. We read, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And so we have to have the shedding of blood. So it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites in the Old Testament days with lambs and bulls and goats. But the heavenly things themselves, the real things, with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered, not into a sanctuary made with hands, a copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest in the Old Testament enters the holy place yearly with blood on his own. Remember, Aaron in the Old Testament continually, every year, came in with blood, right? But it was a bull. It couldn't save. Christ only one time had to do it. Died on the cross for our sins. And where did he bring your blood? Not into an earthly temple, but The Bible says into heaven itself, God's own throne room where he is. And there it is offered to God. And God says, acceptable. I accept that for the salvation of the world. He has appeared once for all at the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Is there power in the blood to save you? Absolutely. It's the blood of Christ. It atones for your sins. For it atones by reason of the life that is in it. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, says the Apostle John. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Do you need to know that you're actually really right with God today? The blood of Christ makes you right. It's for all who believe. If you believe in Jesus Christ and walk with him, his blood is continually making you pure like himself, spotless, atoned for, your sins remitted. For the Lord's Supper, this is the blood of my covenant, says Jesus, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins. What's it mean to remit? To set aside. All of your sins, think of it. Your evils and your crimes, which haunt us in our conscience, they've been set aside in the blood of Jesus Christ. Cleansed. They're not on you anymore. They're not even near you anymore. You have been released from guilt, delivered from penalty, restored to a former glorious condition, namely rightness with God. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Second, it redeems us. It really purchases us back to God. Listen to this. The Son of Man, Jesus says, came not only not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What's a ransom? It's a payment. It's a purchase price. You know that you were ransomed, says Peter, from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things like silver and gold. Can't give God cash, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. You are made his own. You are purchased. You were bought with a price, says Paul, purchased with the blood of his own son, Acts 20, verse 28. Is there power in the blood? Say amen. Amen. There's power to set you free. You've been bought, people. You are purchased. You belong to God. Thirdly, the blood brought us near. For in Jesus all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the frog that was killed on Friday the 13th. No, but by the blood of Christ who was killed on the Feast of Passover. Sets you free, brought you near. No, it's the blood that brings us near so that you're close to God. You're not far off in a country, distant. You are in his bosom, in his home, in his own company, in his own arms of love through the blood. There's power in the blood. And there's power in the blood also to give us peace. Making peace by the blood of his cross, and you who are far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. His blood also next justifies us. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they're justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an expiation by his blood to be received by faith. Who receives these things? He who believes in Jesus Christ, God's blood, Jesus' blood, justifies you, reckons you as righteous. And then secondly, will also sanctify you and make you holy so that you're now spotless and without stain and 100% pure because of the blood that has been reckoned to you, his righteousness. For we see that in the Old Testament, Moses sprinkled with the blood the tent and all the vessels used in worship to purify them. You're throwing blood everywhere in those days to make it pure. But Peter says, you are chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. It means God takes Christ's blood, if you will, and sprinkles it upon you and sets you apart as holy. And therefore you have confidence before God. We have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus. Do you have confidence and boldness in your relationship with God? Your hearts have been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, says the Bible. And your bodies have been washed with pure water. That means, because of the blood, you can stride into the throne room of your Father above gloriously, confident, because the blood has made you his own. And it also gives us victory over the devil. The devil is always going to try to get to you and say, you're not saved. You have an evil conscience. I'm going to rob you of your peace. God hates you. But it says in the Bible, they, the Christians, conquer him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. When the devil accuses you, shout back, but the blood of Christ has set me free. There's power in the blood, friends. And how greatly does Christ's blood save us? Martin Luther said that, watch this, one tiny drop from the Savior was enough to ransom the entire world. So precious is the blood of Christ. But he doesn't just give you a drop. He poured it out upon you abundantly on the cross like a roaring river, like a mighty waterfall, Niagara Falls. In him, says Paul, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. Lavished in the Greek is parousio, to pour out upon you in excess beyond all measure. This is how God has loved you in Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, the free gift that came at a great price to God, Jesus' own blood. And therefore, we have confidence today and tomorrow by it, and for the day to come of judgment. For just like the Passover in the old days, if the blood be upon you, God will see that blood and pass over you at the final judgment, and you will be saved. For you have washed your robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, you have the right to the tree of life in the world to come, that you may enter the city by the gates. So, we rejoice in blood as Christians. We love the blood of Christ. And we will sing today and on that day, worthy is the Lamb who is slain. For by thy blood thou didst ransom men for God, us from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you've made us, God, a kingdom and priests to Jesus' God and Father. And we, therefore, shall reign on earth. There is power in the blood, friends. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Power in the Blood of Christ, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.
When I'm so scared, seems unfair.